Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How does it feel to be truly in need? How can a surprise bill affect your level of stress, your ability to think clearly, and to make rational decisions? The Brookings Area United Way recently hosted a poverty simulation. And that's an attempt to generate a greater understanding of what it means to live in poverty. Dr. Christine Ramsey Senior is Associate Professor of Counseling and Human Development. Heidi Gullickson is Executive Director of the Brookings Area United Way, and they're here to tell us about the simulation. They're joining us from the Janine Basinger Studio at South Dakota State University. Dr. Ramsey Senior, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Heidi, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you.
All right, let's start with the United Way and the simulation. Tell me a little bit about the partnership, how you two work together, and a quick overview of what this was about.
Sure. I would say that Brookings really is a community of collaboration. And so when we are looking at how are we going to do this in the community, our first thought is who's going to do this with us. And so we were able to kind of put some feelers out, and I was able to get connected with Dr. Senior here and be able to bring in that resource to the greater community. There's always a connection between SDSU and the Brookings community, and we know that needs to stay strong. And so this was just another example of how to kind of bring that together and bring it to the community. And we were very, very appreciative to be able to get the work together with that.
All right, Christine, what is a poverty simulation? How does it work?
So the poverty simulation, first I would like to note it was developed by the Missouri Community Action. And so it's basically takes individuals through the month of living in either a family or as a single person who has experienced poverty, different levels of poverty. It's important to note that all of the individuals and families are real. So when you are living as the Perez family, the Perez family is a real family that utilized the Missouri Community Action Services. And so each week is about 15 minutes. And what it does is it encourages the family to kind of have to make it. So kids have to go to school. There's babies. There's bills. There's surprises. And so what's really interesting is every one of them is different.
Hmm. All right. So who's the audience? Who's participating in the simulation?
So we have done them with individuals as young as 12. So kids who are here for a youth leadership event that Extension was putting on, to community members with Heidi. Really anyone can benefit. I would say probably younger than 12. It's going to be, there's going to, you know, maybe not pick up everything that we're putting down. But I will tell you that those youth that we did 12 to 17, they understood it. You could see the frustration. You could see the fear. You could see them really hustling. And you see the same things that happen with adults, even people who know what it is to pay bills.
Right. Have you done this yourself? Have you kind of walked through the procedure, you know, as a participant?
So I have never been one of the family members, and I don't think I would be very good at it now after doing it so many times as a facilitator.
Right. Sure.
I have been one of the vendors. So I actually worked at the Quick Cash before I started facilitating it myself. Mm-hmm. And so that was a pretty interesting experience of to understand all the rules of the Quick Cash, and also to realize I had the option to be as kind of a Quick Cash vendor or as difficult as I wanted to be.
Hmm. All right. So tell me a little bit about the vendors, because these are volunteers who sort of, I mean, this is a part of this is a paper exercise and part of it's face to face.
Yeah, so we will have everybody from, you'll have Quick Cash, a bank, a grocery store, a school, social services, right? Sometimes the people who will come and who will serve as our vendors, who will sit at the tables, are professionals from the field. So we were lucky to have somebody who works with, I'm trying to think of the local organization, who was our mortgage person.
We had Dan McCauley, who's our local Habitat, was actually working in like the housing resource during our poverty simulation.
Yeah, so we've also had even like realtors who've come and helped us with that. We also sometimes, due to the virtue of how many people we've have attended, we've actually had the attendees actually just sort of come not expecting to be a vendor, which
sure.
is again an interesting challenge, because what it suggests is not always the people who are doing these jobs are trained to do them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you're doing it on the fly.
Yeah.
I did have a student who once served as the banker, and she said, by the time it was done, she said, I was so happy to be closed. I did not care. And she said, and it really bothers me to tell you guys that, but you guys were coming so fast, so furious, so at the last minute, that at the end I just was relieved to be finished.
Fascinating. How do you prepare people to, and I talk about sort of the big picture of this, you know, prepare people for the simulation, help them process it as they go along, and then figure out what is the best way to maximize the impact of this in the community now that there's a greater awareness? Because it's more, you know, it's not a dinner party. It's not a board game. This is about people's lives, and you want a big impact to come from the awareness. So let's start with just sort of preparing people to walk through the process first.
So as part of the instructions, one of the very first things we tell people is there's going to be times where this is going to feel like a game. It's not a game. These are real people's lives. We always really remind them of that, that you are walking in this footsteps that others have walked in before. Mm-hmm. So the instructions do a really great job of that. I will say I've had people who told me afterwards, people who took part in the simulation, who no longer themselves are experiencing poverty the way they once were, but who did once experience poverty, who said, it took me right back to that place. Mm. I didn't realize that. So afterwards, we do a debrief where we really talk about that. It can be an intense experience for people, and so really letting people know that this, again, even though there might be times and you're a 50-year-old person and you're supposed to be a teenage girl, that does not mean that it's not serious and that you shouldn't take it seriously.
I'm guessing there are some people who feel like I can figure this out. Like, you know, you come in with your own unintentional or the things that you're not aware of how you feel about other people who might be in this situation. There's probably people who say, like, I can crack this. Like, I've got this. And then they find out, like, you know, things just kept getting thrown at me and there was nothing I can do. Do you see people making that kind of a journey?
Yeah, definitely. I think as people go through the process, they might those first 2 weeks be feeling really good and I got this. And then, like you said, one crisis comes their way. And we often talk about that when we're talking just in our community about there are many of us that are one crisis away from a completely different living situation.
Right.
And having the resources around you in a community is so important, but understanding what those resources do, where they're at, who is eligible, and having that larger conversation of it's not always just a one easy answer. It's not just, well, go get a job, because what about transportation? What about childcare? What about all these other things that roll into it? And so you may be going along just fine, and one thing can throw everything off kilter, and then it takes a while to get back on track again.
Go ahead.
So you'll often see that there will be people who will start and who will have jobs, and then after the first week they're let go because there's no longer a need for that position in the community. Or you'll also have people who their children will get hurt and they'll have to now pay for a doctor's bill and they may not have insurance. So it really does try to be as realistic as possible of there are things that come up that no matter how much you think you can plan for, you can't plan for it.
Right. Tell me about those resources. Let's talk a little bit about the United Way, because this is a part of an awareness and a kickoff for fundraising and a campaign. United Way Brookings, give me an overview of some of the services that it connects people with.
Yeah, so our real mission is to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every resident in our community, knowing that we are really all interconnected. And so one of the big things we want to do is to make sure that the resources we have here, that people are aware of them, that we're knocking down those barriers to get to those resources. And a lot of the resources we have here in our community are volunteer-driven. We have a great community that comes together, but with that volunteer-driven, sometimes it's hard to get that information out. So United Way tries to play that role of being kind of that connector of understanding the resources out there, being able to connect one organization to another organization so they can work together. And we've really seen our other nonprofits be able to refer and resource their clients at a higher level because of that kind of collaboration.
And do you find that something like a poverty simulator helps, you know, what, raise awareness, helps kind of encourage people to make those donations, to be more committed to being part of that community collaboration?
Yeah, definitely. I think when people went through it and kind of during that debriefing time period when we had those conversations, one of the things that came up was it wasn't just if a family was lacking resources, whether that be rent money or food, but they were all feeling the lack of time. Mm. Being able to, if you got off work and you had to be to the bank by a certain time, but it was all of those kind of things, that lack of time, but then also the lack of family time. Because if a parent is working two jobs and maybe split shifts and all of these kind of things, there wasn't that time for the family time to be able to spend that time reading with the kids and be able to create those bonds, which then creates issues down the road as well.
Right.
So one thing we always ask as we're doing the debrief is, who was told I love you?
Mm-hmm.
And we also ask, whoever talked about something that wasn't the bills on the weekend? And it's this really powerful moment of every once in a while you'll get someone who'll say, oh, they said like good job to me, but there wasn't really the I love you. There wasn't really the family connectedness that I think we think of in families who aren't kind of dealing with that crisis. I've had individuals who noted that when they were at the school that they would look across and the whole time they would worry, are we going to be evicted? What's happening? What am I missing? I have a student who has gone through it and who's now helped me to facilitate, who she was actually the role of a 16-year-old pregnant teen. And she said, the hardest part for me was at the end I was thinking, maybe I should just drop out of school, I could get a job, and I'd be able to help my family more that way.
Mm.
And so I think there are connections that sometimes people make that they don't necessarily think of, and that, again, are not the traditional things when we talk about, I'll be able to crack poverty. And so I'd like to note that particularly even for me at the university, being able to connect with Heidi on this, I was able to meet people in our community who I've never met before. That sometimes when you're at the university, you're almost in a silo. And so getting to meet someone from Habitat for Humanity, getting to connect with these people, getting them to see that the university also is part of this community, was really meaningful. So,
and Christine, some of your students might be going through, you know, the students who are studying, you know, at SDSU might also be impacted by these issues. You know, their families might be having problems. They might be trying to figure out, how to make their meal plan stretch, or, you know, whatever the case, how to pay that tuition. These are sort of real life things that a lot of people in South Dakota are dealing with, especially in a time when the ag economy has been, you know, so tough with flooding and weather, and there's a lot of stress that it connects with this time of getting your education.
Yeah, and I would say so many of our students, you know, in counseling and human development, I work on the counseling side, so my students are preparing to be mental health counselors or school counselors, rehabilitation, kind of those different roles. And so these are people who are going to work with people in poverty. So if you don't have an understanding, if you don't know what the resources are, if you've never connected with your local United Way, you may not be a great resource then for your client who, yes, they need mental health support, but they also need to know how to help pay their bill, because maybe they're living in a house that needs weatherization. And so I definitely think it's great to connect with community resources and to really remind our students, these are the things that exist. And just because your family didn't utilize them, or just because you didn't realize they existed, doesn't mean that you may not one day need to connect someone. And so I would say that poverty impacts everybody. It's a systems problem. Even if your family's not living in poverty, you may know someone who is. And it's important that we come together to support these individuals.
Mm-hmm. Let's look ahead a little bit, Heidi, at what's coming up for Brookings Area United Way. Christine mentioned some mental health. Do you have events coming up for the Day of Giving, for other events on the horizon?
We do. Our Day of Giving, we are planning to do some agency tours. So the community mm-hmm. is invited to sign up for those. We'll hop on one of our beta buses, and the 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, we'll be able to go around and visit four different organizations that are United Way funded partners and get to see them a little bit up close. The noon trip, we're going to go see two organizations, but give people kind of that inside look, because again, if you maybe aren't needing these services or you haven't needed them, you may not see them up close. You may not fully understand the impact that they're having. So hopefully we'll have some great conversations along the way with those impact tours. And then we are also hosting December 5th here in the community in mental health first aid, and being able just, again, resource our community. Education is so important for us to really understand not that these are big issues. They're not just Band-Aid issues, and we need to start having those bigger conversations about it.
All right. What does Mental Health First Aid Day look like?
So it's an eight-hour course from trained professionals that are able to kind of help you through, you know, have that conversation of signs to look for, how to have a conversation, how to help folks find resources. Definitely we are not walking out of there as mental health professionals, but just in our everyday life, being able to be aware and have a greater understanding and be able to just help those around us.
Mm-hmm. Professor Christine Ramsey Senior is Associate Professor of Counseling and Human Development at SDSU, and Heidi Gullickson is Executive Director of the Brookings Area United Way. Dr. Ramsey Senior, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you again for having me.
Heidi Gullickson, thanks as well.
Thank you.